Hi, I'm Leighton Hines, and this is How to Fall Apart, a podcast about picking up pieces. 2 weeks ago, Holly Carpenter posted a tweet which read, "Kept my sunnies on for most of the day yesterday because my eyes were bloodshot from crying. I've struggled with my mental health since I was 20, and I've been on antidepressants since the age of 24. Sometimes depression looks confident and happy." Holly's my guest today. We talk about her depression, about retreating from your life when you're struggling, how friends can help in those moments, toxic positivity online, the effect that her years as a model had on her body image, and how she finds it hard to reach out for help when she's struggling. Huge thank you to Holly for speaking so honestly on a difficult topic. If you've enjoyed this or other episodes of How to Fall Apart, Cassie and I would be massively grateful if you would rate, review, and subscribe.
So yeah, I was kind of about 2 or 3 weeks into lockdown, and it was kind of all starting to get to me a bit, to put it mildly, I suppose. But I found I was getting a bit frustrated because so many of my friends were telling me that they were finding it tough, and people that I was talking to were saying that they were finding it tough. But then I was going on Instagram, and it was just like a parallel universe where everyone was being so positive, and like a lot of people were talking about what you can do to get through it. And like, it was all the kind of things, like I said, like the banana bread recipes, the at-home workouts and all that. And even though like, I think everyone's kind of doing what suits them to get through, and like they feel like they're helping people, I just felt kind of bombarded by that kind of toxic positivity, or it felt a bit preachy to me. And I was kind of just trying to do my best that week to keep it together. And then I felt like everyone else was just coping so much better than me. So I think I just took it personally. It was just obviously where I was that day. And I just tweeted that, you know, not a lot of people would probably think from the outside looking in that I would suffer with depression, or that I'm on, you know, antidepressants, or that I have suffered over the years with these kind of things. So I just kind of put it out there just to like, just to be honest, maybe for a minute. And it's not something I had really realized would kind of like resonate with so many people, or that I'd get such a big reaction. And then I started getting so many texts from like friends and family, and so many gorgeous messages from people, and I was honestly just really overwhelmed. I just put my phone on airplane mode, which is what I do when I get overwhelmed. Like, I just kind of shut people out a bit. So it's not out of a place of badness, it's just that I can't cope, because I kind of want to like reply to people properly. And then if you're kind of just like, oh, thanks to everyone, it doesn't even feel, I still have unopened messages and stuff. And like, I think my friends know, like, it's probably frustrating for them sometimes when I do that. But it's just, it's kind of what happens to me when I get like a bit like overwhelmed, or if I get, you know, kind of it's like a panicked feeling, and then it's just easier to just not talk to anyone, which is not like the right thing to do, really. It's not what kind of helps.
It's the thing you need to do in that moment.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Like, I kind of might beat myself up about it for a bit, but I suppose as long as it doesn't go on too long, if it's, you know, if I'm complete hermit and like not getting back to anyone, then there's only so much.
Which is kind of what you went into, slight hermit mode then that week, didn't
you? I just didn't want to see my friends, and then I'd kind of start to feel okay, and I'd be like, okay, no, I'm gonna make plans. So I'd like plan to meet one of my neighbors for a walk, or like plan to go and get a coffee. And then the closer it would come to that, I just kind of started like, oh no, I don't want to see anyone. So then I was kind of cancelling on people, which is obviously irritating for them. You make plans and someone's just like cancelling, and then if it's kind of happening again and again as well. So it's just, I don't know, it's like I find it hard to act like I'm fine when I'm with people. So then I just feel like I'm really being fake. So I kind of feel like it's easier to just not see anyone. And then it's the same with the whole Instagram thing. Like, I love, like, Instagram is a big part of my job and my career. And I love like doing beauty and skincare content and fashion content, and I really enjoy it. But sometimes going on and looking into the camera and talking to people and kind of trying to pretend that like you're in a great place, or you're just, you know, it's just too hard. So I just can't. And then I think I'm looking at my face too much sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, you're constantly in the mirror doing your makeup, my face is in my phone and my stories, taking selfies. And like, I know that sounds so superficial, but it is obviously a big kind of like part of the industry. And I mean, there's so many kind of talented like makeup artists and all of that kind of stuff online. It is like, it's something I enjoy looking at, you know, but I still sometimes find it just all a bit too much, and I don't want to go on to my followers and lie either and pretend to be fine. So then, but then like we were discussing, there can be this kind of panic where you feel like, oh God, I haven't posted anything today. You know, should I just put something up?
So will you tell me when you think you kind of started to suffer from depression, or can you remember?
Yeah, I think, like, to be honest, I don't think I ever really had it in school. Luckily, I actually really enjoyed school. I was a bit wild, but like I definitely was. I got, like, compared to my brother, I got in trouble a lot, but it was never really, really bad stuff. It was just like silly things, but I just kind of had, I've always had a bit of like a bit of a problem with being told what to do or authority. So that was kind of like, that wasn't really anything to do with the depression, but I kind of always felt like I was getting in trouble. And I always felt like, you know, I was causing my parents all this stress. So I think that used to get to me, but I never remember being like having that feeling. And then I think I won Miss Ireland in 2019. And that's when I really started modeling and stuff. And it was
that
just
was in college.
Yeah, I was in NCAD. I was doing a degree in textiles at the time. And it just suddenly changed the way everyone saw me, or everyone knew me as, you know, Miss Ireland or Oh Holly. You know, it just, I can't even explain. It was just like suddenly I didn't feel, I felt like in a way I'd lost a part of myself, because when you're in that kind of category of being called an Irish model or doing the pageants and all that, suddenly there are a lot of like assumptions about you being made, that maybe you're a bit up yourself, you might be a bit thick. Do you know, and maybe that's just in my head, but like there are stereotypes with every career, and like, you know,
like,
and even though when I was modeling, a lot of the girls that I worked with were all so smart, they were in college, like we all knew that like you kind of just had to take it on the chin, but like it just kind of felt like a lot. And I don't think that side of it really bothered me too much, because it's always better to be underestimated by people, I think, because then it's easier to like impress them. But I think that what did get to me was constantly, constantly just comparing myself to other girls in the industry. And then it was just like, it was this big thing about my weight then started for me. And I don't even know if it was ever really about my weight. It was just something to kind of focus on and to have control over. And then that was, and then what age did I think I did Britain's Next Top Model at 23 or 22. And that was obviously kind of a big challenge. And then I remember I had like kind of a high profile breakup at the time as well, when like after that show. And there was just kind of so many things that I never really felt like I knew how to handle things. I think, like you could, I mean, and like, I'm not like a, I'm always afraid of like people thinking I'm oversensitive or, you know, that kind of way. But I just think I would much prefer if one of my friends came to me and said, I'm feeling really down, this is happening, I don't know what to do. And I'd be so good at being compassionate with them and making them a cup of tea and giving them advice, or even not even giving them advice, just listening to them and just being there for them and checking in. But then when it's yourself, I think like particularly women, we just have this thing where we're just not that kind to ourselves sometimes. And I have this voice that's like, oh, come on, just get on with it. Just get on with it, you know, where I probably should just slow down and just let myself. And I think that was the problem with lockdown, was because so many things that I would do to like cope, like go to a boxing class or go to the gym, or like I love, like, you know, I kind of like to be surrounded by busyness and noise and rushing around town and going to events. And I think that that was probably me just not wanting to maybe be present, because it's easier to be flustered and running around and setting up loads of work meetings and all that kind of thing. And then suddenly when you're sitting in your house and you don't really have anywhere to hide or to go, you're just left with things that you probably haven't dealt with. So it's like lockdown. It's like you can run, but you can't hide, like especially from yourself, because you're just like, okay, it's just me, myself and I now. And then, so I think like I've been kind of journaling a bit more and trying to kind of, I was doing counseling sessions on Zoom, which I found really helpful with a counselor I'd been to before. And it was kind of nice just to have like an hour where I could offload, and I'm like actually paying this person to listen to me talk about myself, because I don't want to like put everything on my friends either or my family, because everyone's got so much going on right now as well. So it's kind of just like,
and you said to me that like, even say in your early 20s, when you would have gone on shoots and you'd have, from the outside, seemed like everything was completely fine.
Yeah.
Like you would have been chatting and seemingly really happy. But actually, like, for example, your eating was really disordered.
And
you were really struggling at the time, but you found it really hard.
I found it really hard. And especially if I found out, if I got booked for a shoot that was like a week or two away for that whole time. Because a lot of the time it was always really last minute stuff. But I'd be kind of going, okay. And I'd kind of really, really restrict my eating, like especially when I did Britain's Next Top Model, I was on like black coffee. I was doing two personal training sessions a day. I was just like trying to eat like scrambled egg whites and spinach and like protein shakes and stuff. And then at the weekend, I'd be so tired and my body would just want food that I'd end up like binging and just getting like loads of like making like stacks of toast, getting like chocolate. Because obviously your body is like screaming out for food, but it's just not the healthy way to go about it. And then as soon as I'd finish doing that, it feels so guilty instantly and I just want to get rid of it. So then I used to just make myself sick, which like obviously is not, I don't want to get upset, sorry.
Oh, you're absolutely fine. Take your time. There's usually a box of tissues.
No, you're grand. I mean, I kind of would. I just like.
No, of course.
And like the only reason I'm kind of talking about that is because I know a lot of women go through that, and a lot of men too. And it's not really talked about that much. And I mean, it's taken me probably 5 years to get to a place where I can talk about it. So I can only imagine, you know, for people going through it now.
Yeah.
You know, like it feels like it's just always going to be that way. And like, even though, sorry, I don't want to.
No, take your time.
Sorry. I'm such an emotional person, though. I told you, like, I'm a crier. So
yeah, that's, I let it out,
which is actually quite healthy, I suppose, to kind of cry. But yeah, it's actually a while ago I started crying and I was wearing a mask, and my mask was like absorbing all the tears, and it was just like
dry crying while wearing a mask. Yeah. And glasses.
Oh no.
God, it's, I can't, so see. Funny. Like, I fogged myself.
Yeah. Oh god.
You take your time.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that I was just kind of find hard to talk about. Because I think I just feel like sorry for myself in a way. I know that sounds bad, but I kind of want to like give like 21-year-old me a hug. Exactly. And just be like, stop doing that, you know.
And you said how you went to, when you went to a counsellor at that stage, that kind of helped you realise that it wasn't really about food and they were underlying.
Yeah, exactly. Because it kind of made me realise it doesn't matter. Like, I could wake up tomorrow with the body of a Victoria's Secret angel and so many things are going to be the same in my life. Or, you know, you can train and train and work as hard as you want. But, like, I don't think my waist would have ever been small enough to make a difference to what was going on in my head. So it's like, it kind of just made me realise that I was focusing on the food and all that kind of stuff instead of focusing on other things that would probably make me happy or probably make that I could just address. So yeah, it's just, it was just this cycle. And then like, I was kind of in that scene where everyone was going out a lot at the weekend and I'd end up getting really drunk because I wouldn't have even eaten anything. So then it was just like the fear combined with like everything else. And you know, that was when Instagram and stuff was starting to get quite big. And like, I mean, when I used to go on nights out in school, we used to bring digital cameras out. Like, we didn't have, we had Bebo. Like, we didn't really, I only got Facebook in school in transition year, I think. So I'm lucky, like, that I didn't really have too much social media in my teenage years. But I think then it was just this kind of, like, pressure of everyone being out and there was social media. And, like, everything just changed a lot really quickly, I think. So,
yeah, and you were so young.
Yeah, like, I always felt like I was older than I was. Because I'd arrive at shoots and, like, there'd be hairdressers, makeup artists, you know, maybe journalists, photographers, and everyone would be older than me and I would be like 21. And I was well able to chat with everyone and I loved that environment.
Yeah, you were. I worked with you at that age and you wouldn't chatting have thought 21. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you were well able.
Yeah. Hold but your own. Then I suppose, I don't know, if I mean, it's not like when you kind of have depression, it's not like you're always feeling like that either. So there's
okay,
definitely.
I was going to ask, like, do you look back at that now and think, do you know sometimes when you went through a hard time, but it was quite, felt normal at the time and you almost didn't realise your own stress levels? Can you, do you look back now and think, actually, I was existing at a kind of high level of stress, or was it kind of up and down?
I kind of look back and I don't know, because I might see an old photo shoot and be like, oh my God, that day was so much fun. I loved my makeup that day, or I remember this and I remember that. And there was definitely times, but then I think I kind of had this like cloud a little bit where there was this pressure of just like always just being like two steps away from kind of a panic attack. And I've never actually had a panic attack, I don't think, thank God, because they sound terrifying. But
so you were in kind of fight or flight.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what a therapist told me anyway, like I've had a few. But so, and then you're just kind of on your nerves, and I was drinking loads of coffee, I was chain smoking, and I was just like, just not being good to myself, anything like that. Like, it's like there wasn't enough food in my system, all that kind of stuff. But to be honest, then, like, then I look back and I'm like, there was also times where I let that kind of go. If I was in like a happy relationship, I was able to like have a better relationship with food and eat and, you know, like, you know, so, I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I know I just cried, but as I say, I'm not going to sit here and cry and say like, poor me, I've had such a hard life. You know, I think there's that thing too, that I'm nervous of someone going, oh, you know, like, what is she actually upset about? Because that's the thing about when you get depressed and stuff, sometimes nothing has actually happened. So then I can't even explain it to someone either. And then I feel like I'm just getting upset for no reason, but there has to be a reason. So it is just a completely confusing thing. And I do find that like journaling and writing lists and stuff like that helps me. It's not always what I want to do, but sometimes I just kind of sit down and do it.
You know now that it does help.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask, on the body side of things, where you are now in terms of like, we talked before when we did our interview for The Sun Independent about getting out of that mindset and whether that's possible, and actually whether it's more coming to a place of accepting, okay, I might always feel like this and I'll just accept that.
I think like I don't know. I've talked to a few other girls who have been through the same thing. Mm. And I think a lot of people seem to agree that it's about accepting that maybe your head will always kind of be in that space a tiny bit.
Okay.
But it is just about managing it. Mm. Like, I know that I'd still have certain foods that might be a trigger for me if it's something that
okay.
I used to eat back then, if I was having a binge and I just wouldn't feel comfortable,
okay.
you know, or... Like I used to always can't, like I never wanted to go to restaurants or anything unless I could Google the menu beforehand to see what was there that I could eat that wouldn't trigger me or whatever, okay. like when I was only coming out of it all. But I think, yeah, like I'm definitely just more comfortable in myself now. I think there's just a big difference between being 21 and being 29
yes.
in loads of places, in loads of like ways, I mean. And I kind of would love to continue to try and get stronger with it, because obviously I'll be 30 next year, and I think that's obviously always a milestone for women turning 30 and for men probably, I don't know, and I'm like whatever, I feel like I have to keep saying and for men because someone's gonna go, it's not only women who turn 30. I'm like, I know, but like I just kind of hope that I can get in a better place. I definitely care less what people think of me now, even though like that was a huge problem when I was younger, was just really caring what everyone thought of me, yeah, and just being concerned I could get one small remark on a column or like on an article or something and just slagging me or saying that I'd looked whatever, and it would just really get to me.
That's understandable.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's like fair enough. And my friends used to say to me like, you know what, you know, you just have to kind of brush it off and it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world. You don't know these people. They're just trolls. And until it happened to one of them. And they're not really in the industry, but it just kind of happened to them. And they were like, Holly, I'm actually sorry for every time I told you to just brush it off, because it just does get to you. Which
you
is a shame.
Used to yeah, like it's abuse not. Online.
Yeah. So I don't know. I definitely just, it's not that I don't care, but it's just like I have a set amount of people whose opinions matter to me.
Yeah.
And my family and my friends. And I have a small circle of like friends that I really trust. And once they are like, once everything's good with them, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, even I was really nervous about that article coming out because I just thought maybe some people would have a backlash, you know, over me or whatever, because I was, like I said to you, cautious that like whenever you speak about mental health or whatever, there's kind of this pressure then that it almost seems like you think you're some sort of expert. And like I would never want to come on here and start like telling people what to do. Like we can all only share what works for us, really. But and like I'm not like, you know, I think it just comes and goes in waves. It's like the weather. You can't really predict it. Like, so you're going to have days.
Do you know, some people have interviewed on depression, say it's not until they're coming out of a phase that they realise that they were suffering.
I think so, yeah. And I think that when I tweeted that, it was close to like a rock bottom kind of thing.
Okay.
And I was just so fed up. And I think in lockdown as well, it was probably drinking too much, which a lot of people did. And it's just too easy to go, I'm just going to get a bottle of wine and like unwind. And then I found that that just had like a bad effect. It might just make you relaxed for a couple hours at the time, but then it was just like my anxiety the next day would be heightened. So yeah, it's just about trying to find the balance, really. Like I mean, like I am in a good place now, even though I'm sitting here crying.
It's okay, you're getting it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about going on and making the decision to go on antidepressants when you were 24? Was
24,
it?
Yeah. I just
had you thought about it before that?
I had, but I just felt like anytime I thought about it, I'd kind of just brush it away and go, no. Because I used to think, I'll just do this juice detox, or I'm going to do this cleanse, and like, I'm going to buy this self-help book. Like, I was just like, I know. But I was like, oh yeah, it's fine. I'm actually being so mentally unstable right now, but I'm going to drink a load of kale and I'll be grand.
It, yeah.
Yeah, like, there you go. But I wish that was how simple it was.
That's why I know. Because
it's the mentality. Yeah. And then it's just like, kind of like, and then I was like, okay, how many times am I going to do this stupid like stuff that doesn't actually really help? So I went to the doctor, and I think the first time I went they were like, it is a big decision, so maybe think about it and come back to me, which is really nice, because I think sometimes people think doctors are just like throwing them out like confetti. And then I went back and I was like, no, I am going to go on them. But the thing that really scared me was they said that they can cause weight gain. So that just shows how mad the obsession with food was, that like, even though the doctor was like, these are going to make you a happier person, but you might gain a few pounds. And that made me not want to take them, which is just mad. So I ended up taking them, and I don't even think I went up and down that much. I haven't weighed myself once in about in over a year now, which is great. But
and did they work quickly, or did you have to?
They took them? Like, they actually kind of made me kind of drowsy at the start. I was on a higher dose at the start, and I found it hard to wake up in the morning. And that was kind of a problem for me, because I feel like if I'm not up and in the shower and awake early enough, then it's like my day is on the wrong foot, and I'm like giving out to myself. So like, and then I'll go on Instagram and loads of people are back from 10k runs and swims and I'm like, oh, but like that's something I still, even though I'm nearly 30, like I have to stop comparing myself to people on Instagram. And like, I'm sure there's people who compare themselves to me and I compare myself to them, and it's all
at
just like
any age, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just gonna kind of maybe.
But also you talked about that, about how like the difficulty of getting over that guilt of,
yeah,
like what I need to do today is actually stay in bed till 11 o'clock
I know.
And rest.
It's so
and
true.
I think particularly when you're self-employed, that can be quite hard.
It's so true.
That.
And I used to love like getting up and walking into town with my laptop and just doing all my emails in a coffee shop. I'd always see someone I knew, there'd always be music on, I'd listen to a podcast. I just kind of had this, like, I love town, I love Dublin, and then now it's just like I'm in my house. And then I even found a way to like flip that and beat myself up. I was like, Holly, like, some people are homeless, they don't even have houses, and you're sitting here beating yourself up because you're sick of your house, like, oh, poor me in my kitchen. Like, and then it's like, okay, can you just be nice to yourself for 2 seconds? It's okay to kind of have cabin fever, because the second lockdown is a weird one.
It's like your mind is attacking you.
Yeah, big time. And like, I feel like sometimes I'm the only thing standing in my way, which is like such a shame. I don't want to look back and be like, I could have done so much more if I didn't.
And even that is like you being really hard on yourself.
Yeah, I know.
And so with the medication, just to clarify,
did it make
a real difference?
It kind of was giving me a bit of an upset tummy and all these kind of things at the beginning. And I was just like, but they just said it's like any medication, you just have to kind of get used to it. But then I decided, I was in France. My mum and dad have a place in France and I love it over there. It's probably one, like, it's where I feel the most relaxed whenever I go. And I just randomly decided to stop taking my antidepressants out of the blue, because I was like, do you know what? Like, the sun's shining, I'm feeling good.
I've got some kale here. I need to juice.
That was a terrible idea, obviously.
Yeah,
like, no, anyone don't ever go cold turkey and take them. So then I had like this massive, like about 4 days after I stopped taking them, it was just like migraines. And then you're like hit with this massive wave of like, you actually can't even get out of bed. You're like so depressed. And so that was kind of just really, I kind of learned my lesson from that. And it's so hard to go, this is just a chemical imbalance, this is not real life, this is just happening, you're going to be fine. And I just shouldn't have done that. And the doctors will always say to like start taking half for ages, then take a quarter for ages, to really slowly
manage it.
Wean yourself off. And I mean, I'd love to be able to come off these. I only went on these again in the first lockdown. So, and I don't think it's too bad to kind of go on and off them when you need them, as long as it's not for like a week here and a week there. You kind of need to give yourself a chance to settle. But yeah, I do find they help, but...
Do you find it hard talking about them?
A little bit, like, especially when it comes to, like, relationships and stuff. Like, you're kind of like, when do I tell him? Like, do I just pretend that's my pill? Like, what do I do? Because there's this thing in my head going, he's going to think you're crazy, like...
Yeah,
it's funny because sometimes I think, like, oh, there isn't a stigma anymore. But then I'm like, well, then why am I being so kind of sheepish about stuff like that and kind of almost hiding them, you know?
It's like you said, sometimes it's okay, like you'd be the first person to be saying to somebody else, it's grand to feel like this, but it's when it's yourself.
Exactly.
To kind of admit, oh, I'm not coping.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes me feel like maybe, like, I don't want someone to think that I've loads of baggage, because I'm like, I have this thing where I'm like, no, it's my thing, I'm in control of it, I'm going to look after myself. So then, and I think like if a guy was to turn around to me and be like, oh, look, you know, I've kind of had a few up and down years and I'm on medication, there wouldn't be a second where I judge them.
Of course, yeah.
So like, I'm hoping now, and obviously anyone that I was with would be nice enough, you'd hope. So like, but it is kind of, that's where I find it tough talking about it. I don't find it tough talking about it with my female friends or the lads or anything like that. Because a lot of my friends, to be honest, like a lot of them have been there.
I was just
going to
say, like you said, baggage, but like who doesn't have experiences?
Exactly. Like people, the more you talk about it, it's like, it's kind of just adulting is like trying to kind of keep everything in the air, not let things get too crazy, be a bit kinder to yourself. And then, you know, I don't know, like it's, I think I'm at just a weird age as well where I'm coming up to 30 and it's like, how did that happen? Do you know, like it happened so quickly. And then there is probably that pressure of like a lot of girls my age being engaged or having babies.
It's one of those ages where like you're kind of let off the hook for a few years and people kind of don't comment in your life, and then they're, you know, it's like after school, it's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I know.
After
and then college, they don't for a while.
And coming 30.
And like if someone now is like to me, like, oh, are you going to have kids or get engaged? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a child. I'll be a child bride.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know, it's so inappropriate. But I still think I'm about 22 sometimes in that sense. I'm like,
I would be a child.
Yeah, that's outrageous. But then I'm just like, do you know what? I do want to have kids maybe one day if with the right person. And like, it is weird because you kind of like, if I do a Q&A on Instagram, aside from getting asked about skincare and all that kind of stuff, which I'd regularly be asked, and people ask me for relationship advice, which is kind of gas. But they ask me like, do you want to have kids? Mm-hmm. Are you going to get engaged? Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know. I think if anything, this year has taught us like, you just don't know what's around the corner. I know.
Yeah.
So like, for all they know, I might not be able to.
They're not things that anyone has in their control.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, do you know what? I'm actually planning in 2022, I'm going to meet my fiance. Then we're going to have twins.
Whatever you say is irrelevant because you can't make those things happen.
I know.
I mean that in a good way. Yeah, there's exactly. There's no point in trying to think.
No, and I'd like to kind of be at a better place with myself and like everything like that before I start introducing Holly Part 2. Whatever.
Can I ask you about, we mentioned earlier toxic positivity. One of the things you said when we chatted before, which I thought was so spot on, was that like, we were talking about how it's great, obviously, that we're all talking about mental health and mental illness much more. But like, with that can come a slight pressure of like, then when you see people putting stuff on Instagram or whatever, and it's kind of neatly packaged as like a, you know, list of self-care things.
I know.
You know, this is what'll help when, you know, you're feeling depressed or whatever. And if it doesn't help you, or if your feelings, like you said, it can be really scary and really, you know, not tidy and messy.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Such a good point to make, because that's what depression and mental illness of any kind can feel like a lot of the time.
I think it can be a really frustrating, like, unexplainable, messy, raw thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like when people are like, hey guys, so if you're having a tough day, what I like to do is I'd like to get out, do a 10K run with my podcasts on, and maybe I'll do this, maybe make this smoothie and like swipe up for my leggings I'm wearing on my run. And it's all just like, you know, it's all a bit combined as well with making money. And there's definitely people who are making money off the mental health conversation, which is totally fine. Like, they're, you know, it's a job, I guess, like talking about things. And
but suggesting to someone who's suffering from depression that they go for a 10K run,
that's like telling,
and they're probably
someone
already racked with guilt about what a terrible person
it doesn't
they
help
are.
I don't find, because obviously you'd love to go, do you know what, I'd love to go for a run, come back, have a hot bath, fly through my to-do list, but like, you're actually just trying to like get through the day. So I just find that a little bit much. And then I'm like, I was worried to even say that in the interview because I thought it would sound like I'm judging people for what they're deciding to post on their own feeds, which is what I worry that people are doing with me. So it was kind of like, should I even say that? But then it just doesn't feel real to me. It's all a bit too fluffy. And like, I think that mental health can be kind of a gritty conversation, and it can be things that people are really uncomfortable about talking about. There's still people, like, I do get embarrassed sometimes talking about it, or you know, and then it can just seem a bit false. It's like the Disney version of it.
I think it's really helpful to just remind people of that like, you might not feel like your experience matches something that can be kind of,
that's true,
you know, even put on Instagram or talked about.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I remember, like, you can't always as well believe the stuff that you're seeing. And when I was modeling, there was one of the girls I used to work with a good bit, and she used to always post all these pictures of like chocolate brownies and ice cream and Haribo and all this food. And I was like to my mom, like, how come she can eat all that? And she's skinnier than me. Like, it's really annoying me. I'm trying, like, and I can't even eat anything. She's like, Holly, do you really think that she's eating all that food? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, well, there's no way, like, and I was like, oh, yeah, I suppose. And she's like, also, it doesn't matter what someone else is eating. But anyway, and then it came out a few years ago, she talked about it and she wasn't. So like, I kind of have to remember that too. Someone could be like, just back from my run, or posting a picture of the sea, but you don't even know if that's what they're actually doing right now. So like, I think everyone's just in this kind of like rat race of like trying to put their best foot forward. And sometimes it can, when I'm in a good place and I see someone's story and they're sharing their running playlist, or they're going, I got this scented candle, it's so relaxing, you know, or I'm reading this book, it's great, I love it. But it's just when I'm in this place of like not feeling good, I just kind of get irritated by everyone. And like, that's on me, like, that's my own fault. I'm kind of probably
much more vulnerable when you're
and you're just jealous that people are doing better, or you know, jealous that they're kind of able to push through and you're kind of not that day. But it is about just being kinder and going, do you know what, you don't have to like climb Everest today. If you just, and like, things that like actually do really help me is like doing all my washing, changing my sheets, lighting incense, having the house really nice. Because the only place I can really go right now. So like, if your environment is nice, you have plants and water, and you know, and it's just, it makes such a difference.
On the kind of messy, like not nice side of things, you talked before about you know, that you know yourself, that you're not always an easy person to be around.
Like, that's an understatement. Like, I actually feel like my friends are probably gonna, well, no, to be fair, I just think that it can be tough. It's just that like, I look back at when I've been really bad and I feel like, oh my God, Holly, you just offloaded on one of your friends. And like, even though they're there for me, and I just kind of go, like, was I just talking about myself way too much there? I got really upset. I made the whole coffee date about me. Didn't even ask them about like their new person they're talking to or seeing, or that in job interview they had, because you're kind of just consumed. And then it's terrible, because afterwards I get really anxious and I'm like, oh no, are they annoyed at me now? And like, they're probably like, Holly, I told you to like tell me what was going on, it was fine. But like, it's just so then, and also like, I kind of say to them like the same thing as well. I'll be like, no, do you know what, like this weekend I just really gonna mind myself. I'm not gonna drink, I'm just gonna look after myself and like go for a run and whatever. And then it'll be like Sunday and they're like, are we going for that run? And I'll be like, I'm too hungover. And they're like, why did you drink though? And I was like, because I felt like shit, so I just wanted to have some wine. They're like, but that's just going to make you feel worse. And then there's only so many times that like they can say that before, you know, that's what I mean. So it's like a broken record. And I just don't like when people feel like, you know, like I'm not necessarily going to follow through with my plans. It kind of feel like you're disappointing people then. And especially at the moment. So
how do you navigate that then?
I mean, I just have to make better choices. Like, I feel like I have the best intentions.
Your best. I don't think you need... No, I mean, I don't mean how do you navigate that as in what do you do, but more because you obviously have friends who, like you were saying to me, it's great if people can kind of understand, you know, be there. Don't expect too much at the moment. I will come out the other side.
I mean, that's what's been really helpful for me, is just, I feel like if someone says to me, oh yeah, sure, you're probably not going to go for a jog on Sunday anyway because you're probably going to be hungover, that will make me... That's the fuck it switch on that I told you about. When people act like they presume they know I'm going to do something, then I'm like, well, I'll show you. I'm going to get three bottles of wine. Do you know what I mean? It's this weird thing.
Tell me about the fuck it switch.
Okay, so I've always had this since I was like 14. It's this switch where like all... I have everything like planned. I know what I'm going to do. But someone will piss me off or something will trigger me. And it's like this switch where I'm just like, fuck it. And then it doesn't matter. Like anything could happen. Like I actually feel like when I get like that, I actually am capable of doing anything, which is a bit crazy. But it's kind of just more like, what's the word? Self-destruct. It's like a self-destruct button. And then the next day or whatever it was I did or said, I'm just left with this like fear. And it's like, have to apologize to people and all that kind of thing. And it's just exhausting because the next time it might happen, it's just something my parents had to deal with a lot when I was a teenager as well. And I've never had like a temper. I wouldn't say I've never been like aggressive or angry, but it's just that I'd go out on a night out into town with a fake ID and turn my phone off. And my parents would be like, it's 2 a.m, we can't get through to Holly, we don't know where she is.
Okay.
Because they might have like said something to me that annoyed me, so I was like, well, I'm just going to turn my phone off.
And you said
and that's just like really bad, obviously. Like now that's what makes me kind of terrified to have kids.
You said sometimes it's because you're scared to face things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd definitely bury my head in the sand with things and I'd rather just be in denial. And it's like that whole thing of pretending I believe that a juice cleanse is going to help, or buying a new gorgeous leather diary that I can journal in with a really nice ballpoint pen, but I'm not going to start until they arrive from Amazon. Because that's just putting everything off. And like, it's this thing of thinking that everything has to be kind of perfect to actually start something. And it's like, no, just start, just do it now. And I'm like, no, I want to get this cool pair of runners for when I start running in lockdown. I have not been running at all, but it's like, you can just go in any pair of runners, just go out the door. So like, I do kind of tend to put things off a bit and it's kind of because I'm afraid to start something.
It's perfectionism as well.
That's it. And the perfectionism, anyone who's probably had an eating disorder would suffer with some sort of either addictive personality or perfectionism. So those are two things that can work for me as a strength. Like if I have a goal, I'm so goal orientated, I'll be like, that's tunnel vision. Like even when I was doing Dancing with the Stars, like I was there in rehearsals, we were there for like 10 hour days. I was doing all the radio interviews, all the bits and bobs, the shoots. I was so focused on getting enough sleep and like doing like massaging my feet at night because they were in bits, and I loved it, like because I was part of something. But then again, like when I got eliminated from that show, I just hadn't really prepared for a come down. And suddenly you're in this big glitz and glamour, you're part of a team and everything, and then the next day they're all back in rehearsals and you're at home. And like, because that show, you couldn't really plan it because you never knew when you were going to be kicked off. Like I remember just feeling really lost. And I kind of was thinking at the time that I was going to have like an athlete's mentality about it, where like most athletes won't even kind of consider if what's going to happen if they lose the match, because they're just kind of like, yes, okay, we're going to win, which is what I was like, get to the final. And then suddenly I just got booted off. And I didn't really feel like the way it all happened was very fair at the time, just because I had two different dancers and all that. Now, I'm not going on about it as if I still care, but I just remember at the time I was fuming, which was what everyone said, because my face was like really,
really
bad. Yeah, I think the Irish Times said I had a death stare. Yeah. So, because I was so disappointed. But that was another thing. I was like, sorry, if Peter Stringer got eliminated and he looked disappointed, would they start joking about his facial expression? No, because he's a man.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, I just got kicked off from a show that I really care about.
You worked
like,
really hard.
Was I supposed to laugh or smile?
Yeah.
So, like, but that's why I think some people take me up the wrong way then. Mm. And then they're like, she looks like a bit of a bitch.
And you said as well that that was one of the reasons why you were loath to talk about your depression.
Yeah.
Over the last few years, because you felt like,
yeah,
that might be, there'd be a slightly similar response to what you described there.
Definitely, yeah. And I just feel like sometimes, I don't know if it's people not taking you seriously or it probably is, I don't know what people think of me, or, you know, people who don't know me might have a certain opinion or like.
But I mean, you were saying you feel sometimes there's a difference in the treatment of, say,
men and women. Yeah, definitely.
I'm talking about these
because
things.
I think it's seen as a really brave, monumental moment for a man to talk about his mental health. And it is a scary thing because guys don't traditionally maybe talk to each other in that way. Although I think that these generations now are getting better.
Yeah.
But when a woman does, it's just kind of like, oh, here's another one talking about her mental health. She's a bit emotional, time of the month. Like, it's just not really taken that seriously. Yeah. And I do think that women are expected to just kind of get on with it. And we're just expected to be a bit like, put on a good face, you know, put on some makeup, get on with it, just go out the door. But that's not how things are.
I mean, I see it in the amount of women I interview who have had like endometriosis or something like that.
Yeah.
And they've just been kind of told, oh, just get on with it. Like, that's
crazy.
You're expected to put up with that pain and it's not investigated. It's the same kind of attitude. Just lastly, Holly, can you tell me about when you, the week that you tweeted and you kind of retreated into your room, but your friend Ronan,
he's so moving. Cute. I know, my mum texted me the next day after the article came out and just said, Ronan. And I was like, I know. So I had like
tell me who Ronan is.
Ronan. So, you know, Carnation Street, you know, Rita and Norris.
Okay.
We are Rita and Norris. And like, the houses that we live in Stony Batter are red brick. So
you're really embracing.
Yeah, them. We are. We're really in character. So like the first lockdown, I met him on the road because all the neighbours were just talking and it was really sunny and we ended up having a glass of rosé sitting out on two stools and then just we kind of been there ever since. No, but we
actually
just
almost welling up.
Yeah, no, it's really so sweet. Cute. And yeah. I was like, I live on my own and he lived in his own and we were both single. And then he was like, oh, like, do you want to go for a walk maybe during over the weekend? So we'd start like going on these walks together and then it's like everything in lockdown happened so much quicker. It's like we became best friends really quickly because you're just talking about your like life with these people, because like the two of us would be in our house all day on our own and then we see each other and we're just like yapping away because it's like human contact again. And then so a few weeks ago, or when was it? Yeah, I just had a bit of a mental breakdown and I had a fight with my housemate and there was just all this stuff and I was just so unhappy and I was being a bitch as well. I'll admit that. And I just wasn't like in a good place. Anyway, then I was just like, right, that's it. I don't want to see anyone. And I just kind of didn't really leave the house for a few days. And like, I'd always kind of leave the house every morning, every day, even though I've nowhere to go. Like, I go for my walks, my runs, I meet people for coffee, but I just didn't want to go out. So like my curtains didn't open for like 2 days and Ronan was contacting me and I didn't answer the phone. Oh, I don't want to get upset. He's so cute.
Really,
but
sweet.
He like was banging on the door and I just thought he was like the postman, so I was ignoring him. And then he was like, Holly, and he was like shouting through the ladder box. And then he just tried to, he has a house key and he just opened the door and walked in and he was like, come here. And I was like, what? He gave me a big hug. I know, he's so cute.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so he's been great. It's just, I knew I was gonna get emotional talking about it, but it just shows like how much it means to people when turn up.
Yeah. Because sometimes when you're really struggling, it's the heart, like the time you just can't reach out. And you can't.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm so bad. I wouldn't have texted him and said, I'm really down. Will you come over and have a cup of tea with me? I just wouldn't ask for help that.
I know.
So the fact that he just burst in and like, that's kind of the level of like aggressive care that you need to give people.
Yeah.
Because they're going to keep pushing you away.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just don't want to be left going, oh, I wish I'd kind of pushed through a bit more. So like, yeah, he's got the patience of the saint, bless him. But I kind of feel like on the other hand, I have to do things too that are going to help.
I know.
You know.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You need to match it.
Yeah. You can't just keep making bad choices and then crying about it, because that's kind of what I did too. So it's just about trying to like look after yourself and get the right balance. At the moment, it's just such a weird, weird year. But I'm sure there's going to be so many things I look back on this year as well, and I really will make me smile and laugh, because it was just, you know, it was tough. It is tough. We're not out of it yet, obviously. It is a tough year, but there's also been so many moments where I'm sure a lot of people can relate. They've done things that they probably wouldn't have done. Like,
can I ask lastly on that? Because I think a lot of people maybe have suffered with their suffered depression possibly for the first time this year. As someone who has suffered it repeatedly, does that help in a weird way of knowing, okay, I felt that low, but I got through and I got back up again?
It does, And like, that's why I know it's such a kind of a cliche, but that saying, this too shall pass, is so true, because it definitely will. And I'm sure it's really scary for people who've never felt that low before, and then suddenly this year hit them like a ton of bricks. There's so many people, I feel like, even for women who've planned for a year for their wedding day and then it's just stripped from them, like, or, you know, people can't like have their partners in the room when they're giving birth, or just being able to have a kid, a birthday party for your child, or things that we all kind of took for granted almost, that you just expected would be able to happen. Like, people, like, it just takes small things like that and big things too that make you kind of fall apart a bit this year, I think. But we're obviously going to get normality back and stuff, but I do think it, when I know that I've got something, like, it's brewing again, or if I just have to kind of talk about it and let it out. But I know I've done the interview and I've done this podcast, but I'm not going to keep talking and going on about it. But like, I do think that people were surprised, and it's been really nice getting messages from people saying that they understand and they've been there too, or they are there too, and it's helped them.
Does it help you when you've talked about it?
Yeah, I felt so much lighter even after the tweet and when the interview came out, and I just kind of felt like a lot of people that don't know me that well maybe understand me a bit better now, because, you know, if people are like, why does she cancel like that, or why can she be a bit up and down, at least they'll read it and go, okay, well, it's not personal. So it is kind of handy in that sense to just like have this, like, it's almost like a big diary entry that I just let everyone read.
I don't have to, because I obviously struggle with that, but
it's been a weird one, but I'm kind of glad now I'm coming through the other end of that breakdown, which is great. And now it's kind of more Christmassy around the place, and I'm hopefully going to go and see my mum and dad for Christmas, so everything will be a bit easier.
Holly, on that note, two of us in tears.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, William.
It's a pleasure.